All glory to the Father, through the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Welcome, everybody, and thank you, Alistair, and everybody on the team for inviting me to this beautiful day of renewal. And I can tell you from where I'm stood, you are all beautiful. Please accept that. This fellowship that we have is too precious not to share, isn't it? The joy that we share together is just too much for us to keep it to ourselves. And Alistair is right, this room should be heaving. And we should be going out and telling people, you know, there's good news to be shared if you come. You know, you're very, very welcome. And I'm sure you will do that. Before I forget, David Payne, who is my boss and good friend, sends his love. He is working hard for cafes. Amongst doing some of the film preparing work on New Baptism course, he's preparing for our next trip to Patmos. Patmos is a beautiful Greek island, stunning, but really laden in Holy Spirit. That floors you sometimes. And I went into the cave and stood there and couldn't step another step further because it was just too laden and thick. So I sat and I prayed for everybody who was involved in cafe in any way, shape or form, all of the people in renewal, and I just lit a candle and watched that candle taper burn down, praying for you all. So please know that you've been prayed for from the Holy Island of Patmos in the depth of St. John's Cave. It is a wonderful place. So as you've heard, my name is Tim Stevens, and I'm on a journey. I used to be a senior police officer, but now here I am. And I'd like to share a little bit of my story. Before I do that, can I just share a little story with you? You might recall Pope Benedict coming to this country. He was met when he landed at Heathrow by a chauffeur-driven Rolls-Royce. And the chauffeur got out and invited the Holy Father to sit in. And the Pope said, well, actually, do you mind? He said, I love this car. He said, I think it's a beautiful car. It's got beautiful fittings, and I've heard that it's mechanically the best thing. He said, would you mind if I drove it? So the escort team sort of stepped back a little bit, and the driver said, of course. And he said, what would really be good for me is if you would take a seat in the back. So the driver sat in the back whilst the Pope drove at the front. And off they went from the airport there. And it is a bit tricky around there, and you can get easily confused if you're not about yourself. And within a matter of seconds, some blue flashing lights were in the rearview mirror. And the car pulled across to the left, and the police officer got out and walked up to the window and tapped on the window, and the window came down, and he saw the Pope. He said, can I just ask you just to stay there for a second? So he raced around the back of the car, got out his mobile phone, and he said, Sarge, he said, I'm on the M4. He said, don't tell me. It's a Member of Parliament heading back to his constituency. He said, no, it's not one of those. He said, and it must be royalty heading back to Windsor. He said, no, it's not royalty going to Windsor. He said, it must be a rock band going all the way back to the West Country. He said, no. He said, well, if it's not a Member of Parliament and it's not a Member of Royalty and it's not a rock band, who have you got? He said, I don't know, but the Pope's driving him. Talking of journey, I came very late to the table. So I suspect many of you have been travelling for many, many years longer than me, so please could you bear with me as a young man? For two reasons, really. I'm quite a simple soul. And secondly, I'm likely to make myself quite vulnerable during this time. So just bear with me and pray for me. Forming prayer groups, we were talking about as being part of the topic of this. And can we just have that piece of scripture? I don't know if everybody can see that from there. But it comes from Acts 2, 42 and 46. They spent their time in learning from the apostles, taking part in fellowship and sharing in fellowship meals and prayers. Day after day, they met as a group in the temple. They had their meals together in their homes, eating with glad and humble hearts, praising God, enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. And you just think, you know, if I closed my book and went, that would be enough. Because it's a great model for us, I think. It seems to me that there's an opportunity there for us just to study this and see what it teaches us. It seems that our prayer groups are very similar to these, and that if we're to learn from and gain any hope of strengthening our numbers, then we should look at this. But it poses a number of questions for us. They spent their time learning from the apostles. We need a constant reminder of the kerygma, the gospel, so it will always be on our lips. Pope Francis says that we all suffer from a memory loss, especially from the core truths of faith. The first reading at today's Mass begins, "Only faith can guarantee the blessings that we hope for." Thank you for that reading this morning. It was lovely. So I think we're being reminded that's essential. We need to keep fanning the flame, don't we, of our faith, the kerygma, so that we don't slip into that "I can do it myself in my own strength" mode, because we can't. It's impossible. "Oh, if only I tried a little bit harder." No, it's not by our grace that we're earning, it's by God's grace that we're gifted. We need to frequently encounter the good news, regularly, so it stays in the right place in our mind, so it can never be taken away from us. We need to hear it, because sometimes it's not preached every day. It was today. We need to hear, don't we, that message of the Father's love that allows us, as St. Therese said, to come running onto the knee of Papa. We need to have that sense that we can come into the throne room and ask for God's help without any fear of not being worthy of that. That's a lie and it's trying to rob us. We need to hear the message, don't we, that the most precious substance is the precious blood of Jesus that cleanses us of all sins. Pope John Paul II, Saint John Paul II, said we can have certainty that it cleanses all of our sins. Absolute certainty. So there is no reason why we can't stand and ask for the help that we need. We need to be reminded of that message from Galatians 2:20. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. I want people to see Christ. I don't want people to see me. I want to see them to see the Lord. What are we called to be? We're called to be Christ in the world, aren't we? His hands, his feet, wherever he's placed us. So it might be that we're in a job that at the moment seems a real struggle, but you're there for a reason. God has put you there because he wants you. And Jesus will fight for you, as we heard after adoration in our words that we had. And then, of course, we need to be reminded consistently of that promising message of eternal life. We need that ingrained in us so that we can tell others, because people are worried about the future. It says they took part in fellowship. Do we have people in our groups who can shepherd and care for us as we journey along? We need to be looking at some of these roles that this Scripture gives us and ask ourselves, do we have all the people that might do that? It might be a way of us looking and seeing, have we got the right folks? Is there somebody who's good at that, that we've not yet invited and we need to? You know, it's an open opportunity sometimes. They shared meals and prayers. Do we have people who can care for us with those gifts of hospitality? Do we know of people who've got a real sense of care and mercy, who are not in our prayer group, that might potentially be the right person in the right place? Do we have people who are able to pray and to listen? I say listen, as we all know, because the Lord can speak to us in our prayer time and give you a word for another person. We need it, don't we? And that doesn't matter whether that's a structured prayer or an unstructured prayer. The Lord will use it to speak to us. They met in the temple as we did. We heard following adoration about the Eucharistic heart of Jesus. Are we able to share the Mass or a service when we're gathered? There are some prayer groups that don't have that opportunity, and just maybe we need to ask a question, how can we get that? And it seems to me that you've got at least a monthly opportunity here, which is a real blessing for you to be able to gather together and to pray together. They met in each other's homes. This is a challenging one. Because are we really willing to share? Are we really willing to open up our homes if the door gets knocked upon? It is a challenge. You know, our prayer group, it can sometimes be very, very nice and comfy, can it not? Let's be truthful. You know, I know all the people that come. I know Sheila, I know John. They're lovely, kind people. But if someone knocks on my door and says, I hear you've got a prayer group, how am I going to answer? Am I going to say, yes, you're welcome? It's a challenge for us. They ate with glad and humble hearts. This is a strong one for me because I believe in testimony. I believe that testimony can be really, really powerful. Are we good at sharing testimony? Are we? Our prayer groups and our house groups are absolutely the best training ground for us to be able to talk about testimony and practice our testimony. So that when someone's asked us the question, no matter whether or not you're comfy doing it or not, you'll end up being comfy doing it. They're safe places, aren't they? You know, it's just a golden opportunity. And are we giving him the victory? Big challenge. It says they praise God. In another version, it speaks of them singing the Psalms. And obviously you have that facility here. But do you have that facility in the prayer groups that you meet? Or have we gone to the way of going, we'll go straight into our prayer meeting, we won't do any worship or praise? There are, with all the technology that we have, there is no reason why we shouldn't be able to do some praise at the beginning and place the meeting in the right hand. Forgive me, that sounds quite directional, I don't mean it to be. But it's a question. And the Lord added to their number. I've mentioned this point earlier. Are we welcoming enough? If your front room got full, have you considered how you would split? Have you ever considered that risk, that possibility, that actually you might have to make two prayer meetings? What a wonderful moment that would be, wouldn't it? If we could say, oh, we've got too many people coming to one house, we've got to do it in two houses now. I just hope that that happens for you. How are we telling people what is happening? Particularly when there's great news, there's a real victory that God has scored. You know, we need to be able to, you know, get that shared so that people know and then they want to come and hear more about it. Ephesians 4:11. It helps us with the naming of some of the ministries Christ gave us. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and the teachers. And we can see how alive that was in the apostles as described in Acts. But potentially, that can help us. Just find my right page. I've got so many bits of paper. It is done so that we shall all come together, that oneness in our faith and in our knowledge of the Son of God, we shall become mature people, reaching to the very height of Christ's stature. Then we shall no longer be children, carried by the waves and blown about by every shifting wind of the teaching of deceitful men, who lead others into error by tricks they invent. Instead, by speaking the truth in the spirit of love, we must grow up in every way to Christ, who is the head. Under his control, all the different parts of the body fit together. And the whole body is held together by every joint with which it is provided. So when each separate part works as it should, the whole body grows and builds itself up through love. We heard in one of the words that we had after adoration, a call to keep our roots embedded in the soil, in the Lord, and surrender all our concerns to him. We need to keep our gaze fixed on Christ and be filled, was another word. Mother Teresa once famously said, if you want to keep your lamp burning, then best you keep it topped up with oil. The message is the same. But if the truth be told, we know there are people who are running on empty, a form of emptiness on the inside. David has a joke that he always tells at this point, which I'm going to steal just for the moment. It's the one of London Zoo. You may have heard it before, where London Zoo decided that they were going to install a new part of the monkey house where there was going to be a new Rwandan gorilla. And this lovely creature was going to come in, and it was going to really whip up all the people to come and see, because it was going to be such a beautiful specimen. And so all the publicity was done, and people had booked coaches. This was going to be a grand opening. It was going to be marvellous. And all the excitement was building up, when unfortunately, the Friday before the Saturday opening, the gorilla died. Ah. And they looked around and said, what are we going to do? All these people have come, they've booked. We're going to be hung if we don't sort this out. When there was a little knock at the door, and a young lad appeared, and he said, I'm a student. He said, I'm looking for a job. Have you got any jobs for me? You can see it coming, can't you? And so he said, actually, we have got a job for you. We would love you to wear this suit and be the gorilla until we can get a replacement in rapidly. There's one coming by plane, but we'd like you to just, put this on and just cover us for a day. So he went home that night and he practiced all night. And he was marvellous at it. He was wonderful. He had really, really got it off. And so they installed him in the morning, and all the crowds came and were entirely taken in by him. This young lad was able to do everything that a gorilla could do. But unfortunately, the adulation of the crowd went to his head, and he was swinging from branch to branch. Gorillas don't do that much, but this was what he was doing. And he overshot, missed his branch, and landed in the very next cage. And you can imagine his fear when he looked and realised that next door to the monkey house was the lion house. And he landed slap bang in front of the biggest lion he'd ever seen in his life. And he looked at the lion, and the lion woke up and let out a mighty roar. He said, please, Mr. Lion, don't eat me. Don't eat me. I'm just a student inside this suit. Don't eat me. And from the belly of the lion came a little voice that said, shut up, you fool, or we'll both lose our jobs. But it's not what's on the outside that counts, is it? It's what's on the inside of your heart that counts. It's not the trying to please the crowds. It's not the mask that we sometimes wear. It's what's inside us that really counts. Because inside each and every person that we know and can see is a God-shaped hole just waiting to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We know this. It's why our heart breaks, doesn't it? When you walk down a town and you see people in a less fortunate way. And you just think, gosh, if only you knew what love there was for you. The problem is, in our weakness, we can try and fill that hole. And we can try and fill it with something to release that emptiness from us. Either in subtle ways that don't really satisfy at all, or extreme ways. As you know, David, my good friend, had an addiction to drugs. My own difficulty as a senior policeman was that I was a workaholic. So I would go in the morning and I'd unlock the building door and I would be the last person out at the end of the night switching out the lights. There were people who would have said, Tim cares more about his victims than he does about his family. And it nearly cost me my son. Presenteeism is an illness. And it's something that many can fall foul to. It's a trick. You see, when I was a child, my mum committed suicide. And I was brought up in a house full of whispers. And when people whisper and then go quiet when you walk in the room, you grow up thinking that you've actually killed her. I felt so responsible for my mum, but I didn't have a faith like you good people to help me and guide me. But thank the Lord, he had a different plan for me, and he sent me a beautiful Catholic wife. He knew what he was doing, even if I didn't. And when we were blessed with two children, my wife's wisdom was that they should be brought up in the Catholic faith and baptised and have Catholic schooling. And so I found myself going to the little masses and sitting on the little wooden chairs that my legs didn't fit, if you know what I mean. Many of you have been there. And I found myself watching my family go up for Mass and being blessed by that, and having a real sense of call of faith on my life. And maybe other people have felt that same thing. It is such a joy. So in 1996, at the age of 37, really late, I learned that wherever you are in life, God has something for you. God has something extra. There is always something more. Some amazing people in that school and in my church knew of God's love, and they welcomed my family and I into their community, into their prayer group. We shared experiences and understanding of everything that we studied. It was a safe environment that allowed us to challenge and be challenged. You'll know this. You have experienced this in your own prayer groups. I learned in prayer and in scriptures and in cafe courses, which gave me the inspiration to want to support them, because St. Albans is the home of cafe. Those people who invited me and my family could see something in us that God valued. And like the prodigal son, they treated me and my family with love and kindness and compassion and acceptance into their prayer group. Pope Francis has invited us to be a merciful, welcoming church, particularly to those people who've been hurt, those people who've been excluded, and those people who've stopped attending. And as I'm speaking, I wonder, is there somebody in our knowledge who's been hurt, who's been excluded, or who's stopped coming? Do we know why? Is it just an invitation that's needed again? Would we battle for them? I hope so. I just hope that if that's somebody that's laid on your heart, that you come away from this today and go and see them. And just tell them how loved they are. Because the Lord cries for those, is my sense. See, I needed to hear that I was lovable, that I was precious to God with all of my faults and my failures. You see, I thought Christ had died for everyone else. And if I'm honest, in my prayer earlier, I got a sense that there were people, even in this group, who had still some unworthiness to overcome. So please, if anyone has got a sense of not feeling good enough, that somehow someone is better than you are, it's a rip-off, it's a lie. The Lord wants you to be fully in him, because there is so much to come. So please, I don't need to say who it is. Those people know who it is. You know, you just please use this golden opportunity to grab it. because the Lord wants more of you to be able to walk with you and journey with you. So I got taken by these lovely people to a Life in the Spirit course, and surprise, surprise, I said to the Lord, look, I can't do this. I can't look after my son and his leaning, my lad had fallen into drugs, that's not beat about the bush. And I said, I can't do this on my own, I need your help. And so I offered it up to him, and the Lord was kind enough and good enough to be able to respond to me and converted me and converted my heart. What he allowed me to see was the gift that was my family and remind me what he had given me in that. I started to be filled with God's love and recognising that he was my refuge and my strength. I had a monk at Worth pray over me and say that I was to be a carrier of God's love. So I'm here to tell you, that love is enormous, bigger than anything that you've ever seen. And it is here for you. It changed my life in time to save any attack on my marriage. And it was also in time to be able to help me and my son and our relationship with our son. And it allowed us to be able to continue with our faith and for my lad to come through the other side by the grace of God. All by the grace of God. I thank God for that. But you can see the benefit of having a prayer group is joyous because it allows you to be able to call upon people and friends and those and help you. Those people can see what you need and can step up for you and pray for you and support you. I'm pleased to say that we continue to meet every fortnight still. And that was going way back when. The bulk of these people are Upper Room people. You probably know Upper Room at St Albans. Interestingly, we've now grown so long together that my daughter Charlotte has married Tom, the son of one of the other parents in the prayer group. So that prayer group is perpetuating. Thank God. Thank God. It is one of the ways of strengthening your group. Have children. If the gospel, as we've mentioned, is the foremost element of sharing in a group, so the gospel being the first, I would say openness to the Holy Spirit and the charisms has to be the second. It is our strengthener when we're talking about needing to strengthen groups. The Pope in Evangelii Gaudium says we must implore the daily grace of the Holy Spirit. A person who is not convinced, enthusiastic, certain and in love will convince nobody. At a retreat to over 1,000 priests in Rome, he called for Life in the Spirit courses for every parish, every school, every seminary and every neighbourhood. And I'm sure Charles would have mentioned that last month. It is something that that we hang by. We've learned that the charisms are not just for the early church and the saints, but they're actually vital in our everyday. We cannot manage without the Holy Spirit. It's too hard. It's too difficult. But we are seeing God building his kingdom, particularly with Life in the Spirit courses. There was a church in Barnet who said, we're going to open up our doors to him and do a Life in the Spirit course. And the priest there set his chairs out for 30 people. That day, 165 walked in through the door. At a church in Birmingham, they ran a Life in the Spirit course only a couple of years back. And the priest had to close his door because too many people wanted to come in. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
In Surbiton, just south of London, all of the churches who were Christian in the town ran a Life in the Spirit course at the same time. The same course, you could go to any of those churches on Monday. Oh, yeah, I'll go to the Baptist church. Oh, I can't do Monday this week. I'll go on Tuesday. Where's that? Oh, it's at the Methodist church. Okay, that's fine. You could go to whatever church you wanted. If you hear anybody talking about Surbiton, try and pray for them and give them whatever support you can, because the Spirit will be doing something there, that's for sure. There is no way that number of churches, I think it was about 17... can have that amount of response and call on the Spirit and for there not to be a response. Absolutely. Small groups remind us of just how the Holy Spirit wants to be right next to us. The friend closest to our hearts, as it says in the Catechism, to be our comforter, our helper, our defender, and our empowerer. We all need to be filled with the fruit of the Spirit, the ones from Galatians 5, which I've noted because I can't get them all right. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I'm not the best at that one, as you can possibly see, but I need to keep going. More laws. I do believe that testimony is a big part of strengthening our prayer groups. Absolutely. St. Paul encourages, doesn't he? Be ready at all times to answer anyone who asks you to explain the hope you have in you, but do it with gentleness and with respect. As I've said before, practice of that is best done in your prayer groups, where you can train on testimony giving. Each testimony, no matter how small, will strengthen the group. Let me give you an example. I used to catch the train down to London to the Home Office, and I would have a train buddy who I would see once a fortnight or so. Lovely lady called Natalie. She says, "Tim, my friend is going in for some chemotherapy treatment. Will you pray?" I said, "Yes, no problem." She says, "The difficult thing is that she goes in the morning on the transport and either has to wait all morning and have the treatment in the afternoon and then catch the transport back, or vice versa, has the treatment in the morning and has to wait all afternoon before she catches the transport back." She said, "It's really difficult for her." So I said, "I'll pray for that." I said, "I can't do anything about the transportation, I'm sorry, but I have a stack of books at home." I said, "All of us in renewal buy too many books." I said, "We've got books coming out of our houses." I said, "I'll find one." And as I'm speaking, instantly, the Lord puts on my heart the book by John Pridmore, From Gangland to Promised Land. Some of you may have read it. If you haven't, it's a good read. It talks about how somebody really in the depths just can get a visitation and the Lord can really just change your life like that. It doesn't say, "Friend of Natalie, you're going to be healed immediately." It doesn't say that. What it says is, "Trust in the Lord." So I thought, that would be a good book. I'll get that out for her. I've got it at home. John Pridmore signed it for our family. I thought, what a lovely gift that would be. So I got home and I searched for it. I could not find it anywhere. And I said to my wife, foolishly, "What have you done with my book?" Crazy me. And she said, "I've done nothing with your book. If you've lost your book, best you pray for it." Okay. Thank you, love. Sounds like a Charles and Sue moment that, doesn't it? She said, "You know, just pray for it and get it. It'll all get sorted out." Through the letterbox the next morning comes a fresh copy of the book, no envelope, no address, no nothing. Now, I don't know how many books there are in the ISBN. I haven't got a clue how many doors there are in the world, never mind if it opens, you know what I mean? Or vice versa. But for that to happen, God needed that book to be in the hands of the friend of Natalie. I took it to her and I said, "Listen, this is absolutely for your friend. You know, this has come divinely. Please, take it and give it to her." So if people say to me, "Tim, do you believe in prayer?" Absolutely. I'm resolute in my belief in the power of prayer. If the gospel and openness to the Holy Spirit are the first and second elements of a small prayer group, what would you say might be the third? Quick buzz with the person next to you. What might it be if the gospel and openness to the Holy Spirit were the first two key elements of a small prayer group? What might be the third? Okay, so go on, hit me with what you think.
Prayer,
fellowship, yeah.
Psalms.
Psalms, yes, yeah, yeah. All of these are good.
Food.
Yeah, I like that. Love. I'd like, can you imagine some of our priests, bless them, if you said to them, Father, the three key things that we need, the gospel, the Holy Spirit, and food. I know a lot of priests will say, yes, I'm up for that one. I wasn't going to come, but I am now. Oh, lovely. You'll probably accept anything that I would put here in relation to it, but support, healing, and encouragement.
Cuddles.
Yeah, I think that's called support, healing, and encouragement, all in one go. The antidote to our worst disease of our time, loneliness, was Mother Teresa, wasn't it? She said that we have a famine of the heart in our country, and that praying together helps us increase a sense of our prayer life. As I was praying this morning about this, I got a slight twist here around the housebound. And I'm just going to challenge you, just for you to take away and think about this. How are you taking this joy back to your housebound in your parishes? Because there are some lovely people there who would love to pray for you and the things that you want prayed for. And we've got the resources, as we know, to be able to take it to them and maybe share some time with them. Sometimes it only takes half an hour to be able to share something with them and then pray. What a gift. What a gift. We all need to know that we're loved. Are there any married couples here? Who's been married the longest here? How many years? 50-odd. 50? 55. 55 years, what a wonderful gift. We all do need to know that we're loved, don't we? Have you heard David's joke about the married couple, elderly married couple? Some of you may. Apologies if I repeat it. So this elderly couple were going to be 60 years married. And unfortunately, they were quite a feisty couple. They would often not necessarily see eye to eye. So the children decided that they would buy for them some marriage counselling lessons after 60 years. And they duly went off to Harley Street and were ushered into this beautiful oak-panelled office. And they sat down on two separate Chesterfield sofas. And the very expensive-looking consultant came in and said, I'd like to know what's been going on. Madam, would you like to tell me? And she said, you know, how he'd often been very rude to her, always cut her short, and it wasn't very kind at all. And then he turned to the man and said, you know, what's your side? And he went on for an equal amount of time, giving his version of events, seeing it through his glasses. And after this, he said, right, can I just stop you both now? He said, I just need to do something that I've never done before. And he walked over and he picked the little old lady up from the sofa and he kissed her passionately on the lips. And she was put back down into the chair, dazed and smiling. And he turned to the old man and he said, now that is what your wife needs twice a week. Twice a week. And the old man turned to the consultant and scratched his head and said, I'll bring her in on Tuesdays and Thursdays. We are reminded, are we not, that we need to love one another. You know, where that scripture says love one another, that means that message of love, isn't it, that's not rude, it doesn't take insult. You know, we need to really, really walk that talk. We need to be able to say it. We need to not only love our families, which sometimes can be testing but maybe easier. We need to love those for whom we really, really struggle. You know, the person in your life who's really presses your buttons. We need to find a way of loving that person and defeating the opposition who would love you to be enemies. When that happens, when we turn that on its head, and defeat the opposition with love when love's not expected, that is absolutely beautiful. And I'm sure that shakes the opposition. We need to love our religious and our priests, those people who've given us years and years and years of teaching. Interestingly, when people do a cafe course, it's not cafe, it's all that teaching that's been shared between priest and parishioner that sits on your heart. A cafe course runs and suddenly all the dots are joined together and you get an explosion of love. And that's what happens. Not cafe, it's all that lovely teaching that's been taught to you and that you've read and you've studied over the years. So please, love your priests and those of a religious vocation. And absolutely, get stuff into the light. Don't let anything hold you back or separate you or divide you. Crucial in a prayer group. I mentioned support at the beginning, that loving care and support in a prayer group that truly happens when God uses our capacity to love, when he really, really reaches in and gets you to love somebody in your prayer group, particularly when they're struggling. And your knowledge and your understanding and your teaching will help other people in your prayer group. You know this. There is that ongoing intercession support for them and their loved ones, which can be done. You don't have to be in the prayer group for it. You can be doing it daily, can't we? Inner healing prayer, laying on of hands. Sometimes that's slipped away in prayer groups of late. Less of the gifts of the Spirit and more just intercessory prayer. I would urge you to really go back to those early times when you lay it on of hands and pray for people. It's meant to empower the laity to bless others. Pray a blessing over each other for open hearts. There's an opportunity for prayer later. If anyone's been considering it and not sure about today, please grab that opportunity. What I really love is the absolute privilege of being present when somebody gets that explosion of love in their heart. So as an example, I sometimes do the first session of the Let It Be course in parishes. And I went to a parish, a Marian parish, so the priest had definitely been preaching Mary and what she brings to our faith for many, many years. And I was put on a table with two young lads in their early 20s. And the first session talks about how Mary receives the grace of redemption ahead of time. And so very, very quickly, the smart young lad said, if she does that, then we can look at what her grace did for her and ask the Lord to bless us the same way. I said, this is lovely. I said, I'm so blessed to be here. This young lad with tears in his eyes said, Mass on Sunday, I say amen when I receive the Lord into me. He said, this is Mary's yes. I'm saying, thank you, Lord, just to be present when these young people are able to get that experience. His mate turned to him and said, if this is session one, I can't wait for session two. I said, isn't it wonderful? He said, no. He said, how can tomorrow be the same? What we've recognised today will change what we do. We've not been right and we need to be right with the Lord. Amazing. Amazing. I think I mentioned earlier today about the joy of hope. We need to be reminded of God's protection in our lives. When the opposition is trying to send all sorts of messages of fear and disruption in our lives, we need to be reminded that God's got it. It's in God's hands and that we can trust in him. It's lovely to hear that there's a belief course being run in this parish. I think if you know people who live in this parish, encourage them to come. Encourage them to be engaged. It's going to be great. I'm going to be over at the refectory later from now on in order to be able to answer any questions that anyone has. If you've got a question, please come and see me before we finish. And if it's okay with you, I'd like to finish with a prayer. I ask God, from the wealth of his glory, to give you power through his Spirit to be strong in your inner selves. And I pray that Christ will make his home in your hearts through faith. I pray that you may have your roots and foundation in love, so that you, together with all God's people, may have the power to understand how broad and long, how high and deep is Christ's love. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you very much, Tim. And I do encourage you, if you need that resource to restart, or to restart your prayer group, or to revitalize your prayer group, or to start a new prayer group, you know, there's running a Life in the Spirit seminar or another cafe course is a wonderful ready-made way of doing it. It takes all the effort out of how to do it. You know, you don't have to think, well, what do we do? Just put on a DVD, follow the discussion notes, and you've got a group going. And that can then carry on and become a regular prayer group. You can run other cafe courses. You can just do praying. You know, it just makes it so simple. You know, to really do encourage you. You know, if you haven't got a prayer group in your parish at the moment, now is the time to really start it and, you know, give it a kick start. I mean, obviously ask your priest, but even if he doesn't approve, you can do it in your own house. You know, nobody can stop you having a prayer group in your own house. So, yeah, I really do encourage that.